The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ParaX, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Explicit content may be heard throughout this podcast. Listening discretion is advised.
Exploring the paranormal perspective.
What is up, Eeps? Thank you for listening to Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. I'm your host, Shauna. You're going to be hearing my interview with Allison Church. We're going to pick her brain on what inspired her to become a writer and what changes she's making with her life. If you have any questions for her after the show, please feel free to email her at her email address that she'll give during the show, or you can message me at Exploring the Paranormal Perspective's Facebook page. And now, on with the show.
I cannot believe how busy it's been. And I've seen that you have gotten into, you've had an interview every day.
Almost. Let's see. I don't have one tomorrow, but I have one on Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday are free. Then I have one on Friday. I'm a legend in my own mind.
You are a legend already. Look at you getting all these interviews.
I hope it turns into something. I can BS with the best.
All right. In this day and age, you got to.
Well, someone asked me, are you a boy or a girl? And I go, yes.
What are you gonna be? Yes, I'm both. And of course your books, because I'm reading one right now that I didn't get to finish.
Which one?
Jesus Crispy. That is gonna be something I'm probably gonna say forever. The Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Yes, that's one of my favorites. It is a little on the NC-17 side.
yes, please be of age to read this book, because
my only explanation is that I was fighting with my identity and it was a dry spell for me.
I so far so good. Your dry spell is great, because my dry spell, I don't do shit. Oh, and I saw your Star Trek rant the other day. That was cool.
Oh, you did? Okay, cool.
I did. I watched Star Trek, but I'm not a Trekkie like a lot of people. I'm more into the Star Wars.
Oh, I don't blame you. I am too. I would love to see when Disney finally acquires CBS and Paramount, maybe they can do a thing.
Maybe, but I was really disappointed in the last couple of Star Wars movies. Those were kind of...
Yes, so did I. The thing is that George Lucas was making the pre-prequel and the sequel when he was not hungry. Sorry. The original came out when he was hungry. So he had to treat himself.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
Oh, yeah. Well, anytime you write a book or you write anything, you got to have the passion and the hunger for it. I mean, you say you were going through a dry spell and Drop Dead Gorgeous, but...
Yes. No, I didn't mean a literary. I did not mean a literary dry spell.
So you're going through one of... Okay, I get it now.
I was what Beetlejuice said. I was a little anxious.
Were you nervous about writing this because of what you're going through? But
most of the people who knew me already know that I'm a pervert. What I was nervous about was actually exploring for the first time the undertones of the genesis of my femininity. And it was like the character developed inch by inch, and that was during the time that it blossomed, for a good word to describe it.
Yeah.
It was rather interesting and fun to write that book.
Oh, I bet. It looked like you had a lot of fun doing it.
I did.
Now, who did the cover of the book?
A very good friend of mine by the name of Zach Crockett. Oh. He does all kinds of stuff. He is also transgender, and he goes under the nom de plume Smooch.
Smooch. So
Yeah, if you see some of his work, it's the most beautiful work in the world. He drew both of those covers. I inked them and colored them myself.
Oh, did you? You did amazing.
It took time because he always likes to do fine lines and stuff like that. So to respect his art, I took them and magnified it, and I inked it pixel by annoying little pixel.
Holy shit, that takes forever.
It took forever, yes.
Oh my. It looks great though. I sat there. One of the reasons that it caught my attention, because I'm a big Tales from the Crypt fan, and that cover. And guys, I'll show you guys the cover. I'll put it on the blog. And if you go to my Patreon, you see the episode, you'll see the cover, because I'll post it up here. It'll be in this nice little green screen. Yes, but it's an awesome book so far, and the cover is amazing. But like I said, it's the Tales from the Crypt kind of feel, so it really just kind of drew me in. And then whenever I started reading it, it was like, oh, that's really, it's really good. You're a really good writer.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
One thing I tell people if they want to know about that book, I say it's Tales from the Crypt meets 50 Shades of Grey.
She ain't lying, y'all. Y'all want to read this book? Please, like I said before, be 17 and up, because I'm not gonna be yelled at by the mamas.
I don't want to get yelled at by the mamas.
So we're putting that warning out there now.
It's like, whoop. Guys,
yep, no. I'm a mama myself, so it's like, yeah. Boy, what you reading? But you have written so many books. I have seen a lot of different ones under Allison. You've written this one and another that is a sequel. Is it a sequel to this one, or is it just part of your?
It's actually the first. This is the second book in a series called Suspense and Horror.
Look at that! I started off on the second book.
That's okay. The first one is good too. It's my favorite. It's called Dark Passenger.
Yes,
and horror novel that takes place on the Titanic.
No, see, I'm gonna have to stop reading this one and go back and read the other one, because I started reading this one because the cover caught my eye. Now the other one has somebody on the front of the Titanic,
it's a mummy holding a severed head,
yeah,
on the stern of the Titanic, and you see Titanic, you know, on the stern, and the bloodied iceberg in the background floating away.
And you had to color that one too, didn't you?
Yes, and pixel it, which was but it pay the reward is, and now people enjoy the cover.
Oh yes, I really enjoy both those covers. Like I said, guys, the cover is Drop Dead Gorgeous is the second one, and the first one was, I have it in here,
Dark Passenger,
because I bought them both and started reading.
Thank you.
And if you guys want to purchase this, you can go to Amazon. Is it just on Amazon, or is it on?
That series is only on Amazon. And as Stephen King had Richard Bachman, I have a DBA where both those books are under my former identity. They are under the name Donald Allen Kirch. And I'm going to continue keeping those as my Bachman-esque books. And every other book that I write will be under Allison Church. Allison Church, moi, has only one book that's available on Amazon. It's called Keeper at the Gates. And it's basically a Catholic / Lovecraft-esque mindfuck.
Mindfuck, there you go. Lovecraft, man, Lovecraft is a mindfuck all on his own.
Oh yeah, someone told me that it reminded them a lot of a Twilight Zone episode with cuss words.
Hey, gotta have cuss words.
Rod Serling's one of my inspirations.
Oh yeah, you were telling me about that.
I like how he always made sure that the villain either got its comeuppance, or he got what he wished for, and it wasn't what he wanted.
I like that. What is your favorite?
Favorite Twilight Zone?
Yes.
Oh, probably one. If you know this one, I will be highly impressed and all that. It's called The Changing of the Guard.
No,
it has a very young Donald Pleasance in it, whom we all know as the doctor psychologist in the Halloween movies. But he plays a very elderly man who wants to commit suicide because he feels that he's worthless. And the night that he wants to commit suicide, all the ghosts of students from his past come back to haunt him and remind him how valuable he was to them in their life and at the moment of their death. Very, very, very heart-rending. It's not as scary as some of the stuff, but Donald Pleasance, he was a wonderful actor and very underused.
Yes, very much so. Oh, my gosh. I watched a lot of them. I'm going to kind of reveal my age a little bit, but I don't care. Oh, hey.
I remember 8-track tape players and payphones.
I remember payphones. I used to have to use them all the time. and beepers and pagers. Okay. My parents hardly ever let me watch any kind of scary movies. They weren't really into scary stuff. They were more into Sylvester Stallone and the Terminator. God, Arnold Schwarzenegger. There you go. I couldn't think of his name.
The Chopper. Head to the Chopper.
Yes. I think the one scary movie I remember my dad watching was The Predator. That was because there in a war zone, but that was awesome. Amazing. You sit there and you look at the graphics from then and you look at the graphics now, and you kind of have to love the graphics from then because they were all real made.
But it still stands up. It still stands up.
Yes. Yes, it does. As a matter of fact, we were just watching the Predator movies the other day, but I had heard they were going to make another Alien Predator series. I don't know if they started it.
I hope it doesn't suck as bad as Alien versus Predator.
Oh, God. I couldn't bring myself to watch it. I could not bring myself to watch it. I heard it was a disappointment, just like I heard Freddy versus Jason was a disappointment.
Well,
I never watched it either.
Of the two, I prefer Jason. I prefer people who don't, you know, when they just kill people. You know, it's like, just grabs them, stabs them, and then leaves them.
Michael Myers, that's my favorite.
Yes.
Yep, my favorite. Freddy, villain.
Michael Myers and Jason, I would like to see that one.
That would be interesting because they both look the same.
Yeah, and I think they would both look at each other and go. Before they did anything.
I don't know if you saw my, I think I shared it during Halloween. I might not have, but it was a Michael Myers and collaboration where they were walking through Walmart or something together. And they had a cart. It was hilarious. Oh my God. They had stopped at the knives and Michael Myers kind of picked up all the knives and threw them in the cart.
I love it.
They went to the Halloween aisle and picked up a Jason mask and he put it next to Jason and went and just tossed it over his shoulder. But it was hilarious.
What would have made that really funny is if he picked up a mask and he put it over at Michael Myers and it was a William Shatner mask.
Oh my God.
Right. All us Halloween people would have gone, dude, rock.
Right? Because a lot of people don't know that was William Shatner's mask. Yes, people. That was William Shatner's mask that they.
He chewed the crap out of them.
Oh my God. Did he ever win?
I don't know.
I don't think he would.
To me, it was cool that I'm looking at him going, dude, Michael Myers is actually Admiral Kirk.
Right, and do the slow motion, like the overacting.
I want to kill you, Jamie. Life is a strange fig. You never know what's around the corner. That's what I like about my life now, because every day is a new discovery. I'm rewriting who I am. My basic programming is going out the freaking window. So there's that.
You're Allison, and you're going to continue to be Allison. Now, I know you're getting, you went to the doctor how many times already now?
Oh, a plethora of times.
Well, you said your surgery was in the works, but I haven't called up on it.
The machinery is in the works. I'm doing electrolysis, HRTs. Okay. HRT's going great. I just got to get all the man here gone.
Well, now I know all this in and of itself is a horror all on its own, because it's scary going through stuff like this.
Electronic makes you quiver when you do that stuff. You're leaving the place feeling all burnt and squishy.
Ooh. You get that tattoo rub that numbs the area. Where you go in.
The only regret I have is that I should have done this 20 years ago, but on the same page, a lot of my transgender friends tell me the best time for you to transition is when you're doing it.
Yeah.
So
you're ready.
Yeah. So you're much ready. So. And I'm gorgeous.
You are gorgeous.
And humble.
You have an awesome personality, though, and that's another thing that makes you just as gorgeous as anyone, because as long as you have the good heart and the good insides, you're going to stay gorgeous.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's sweet.
Well, I've seen a lot of your I did stalk you for like the last couple of weeks, because I had to stalk you, or I would be dumb and numb coming into this interview. So I've seen you kind of pour your heart out there on the screen and your videos and your nervousness, and you're not as nervous now as you were when you started.
No. When I first started, I had a terrible camera, and I thought people would judge me because they're going, you know, in my mind, I had that song playing over and over again. Dude looks like a lady. These people are going to know. I mean, I told them right off the bat I was trans.
Yeah.
And going from male to female. So I was nervous. But then as I got into it and I was telling them the honest feelings that I had, my fears, my dragons, and, they were giving me such encouragement. I mean, it gave me a sense of family with them. And when I talk to them now, it's like, take it or leave it. You got me and I'm going to bitch.
We're like, shining the light on the paranormal.
Oh, okay, cool. Saying.
And it's not shining a light on the paranormal. It's the fun of the paranormal. You can have fun and still be serious.
I got two things about the paranormal. One, I do have a book and collection of stories that deal with the paranormal called Stranger Than Fiction, True Stories of the Paranormal.
Oh, sweet.
Yep. And another thing, I did not believe in ghosts until I was attacked by one, or I should say two.
Oh, okay, girl, you got to tell your story now.
Okay. Are you familiar with a place called the Sally House?
Yes, I am. It's right north of me.
In 2004, before it became the tourist trap, unfortunately, that it is now, we got in touch with the owner. When I say me, a production company that I was with, because we were going to do a documentary and, you know, put it on the internet kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we were very lucky because he was in between tenants, because at that time it was a rental property. And we asked very, very diligently if we could go there and spend some time. And he said, well, you can do 2 weekends. And we said, we'll take it. And we got together a film crew, a psychic, a witch, and me, who was the skeptic and the writer. And I was taking notes during the whole thing. And we went to the Sally House. And at first I looked at it and went, nah, it looks like the place that I saw in Sightings. That's where I first heard of the Sally House, was on a television series called Sightings. And we went in, and instantly our cameraman became deathly sick. He vomited left, he vomited right. He did his Linda Blair with 4 stars. It was stuck. He went out the house and he never came back. Don't know what that was. Could have been food poisoning. Could have been the fact that he was a believer and he was nervous. Right. All of the above. We're in there and the psychic did not impress me. I think the psychic on Poltergeist would have been more convincing to me than this lady.
Wait, which one? The male or the female?
The original one.
Yes.
the magic munchkin.
I loved her.
Yes. And we went in and we're going upstairs and we're looking around, and there's this one room in the Sally house that's called the Sally Bear house, or bear room, where they put all kinds of stuffed animals that people have left in her honor and stuff. Mm. And there was this one duck up there that when you touched it and shook it, it went quack, 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 quack. Very creepy, very creepy. And we're going around, and then we go downstairs, and we're all downstairs. And all of a sudden, upstairs, we hear quack, 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 quack. And we all go, and we count heads, and we're going, okay. We went back upstairs. The duck fell down. So I'm thinking, okay, it just fell. And when it hit the ground, it went quack, 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 quack. That was the first thing that was weird. The second thing was, is that the paranormal investigators that were with us, I wasn't impressed with, because they had EMF detectors and stuff. And it seemed to always go off when it was near the power lines.
Oh, well, yeah. It should.
And I'm writing in my book, I'm going, these paranormal investigators don't know shit. And then I underlined the word shit several times. I'm heading down the long stairs. I'm like fourth or fifth stair down from this long, like Victorian-like staircase. And then I stop, because behind me, I felt a pair of adult female hands do this and grab me by the shoulders. At the same time, at my ankles, I felt a pair of childlike hands grab me by the ankles. And I'm having my first genuine WTF moment in paranormal activities. And before I could turn and say, guys, these hands pushed, and those hands at my ankle pulled. And I dropped everything, put one hand against the wall and one hand against the banister. And if I hadn't have done that, I probably would have gone ass over tea kettle down this staircase, and I would have certainly broken my neck. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I did not know how to comprehend that, because it was beyond my realm of reality. To me, ghosts were nothing but ooga booga stories that one could tell on a Friday while watching scary movies and stuff. I never genuinely thought that I would experience it. Not one, but two.
Right.
And we went down into the basement. And the basement is just a simple riverbed wall basement. Furnace and this hole that's way back in the back that goes back into this dark hole of Calcutta that couldn't explain. It's like a bunch of boards and stuff are in there. Mm-hmm. But also right in front of the furnace, somebody had painted a black pentagram. And I go, okay, that's creepy.
Right.
And it was just after I did this thing and my mind started to open up. I'm going, okay, there's something to this. And we get into the room. And at that time, we're all men. I was a guy. And you know the reputation that Sally has with men in houses. Mm-hmm. She's never attacked a woman, as far as I. We're in there, and we got this one night vision camera. And we wanted to test it out. It was a new gizmo. We turn off the lights. And we turn off the lights and we're all standing there in the dark. We can't see crap, but this camera picks up everything. And all of a sudden, somebody screams. And it was a genuine scream of pain. And we turn on the light. A brick hit a friend of ours. And see, this is weird, because as I stated, the entire basement walls of the Sally house are made out of riverbed rock. The only thing that's brick is the chimney that goes up, you know, through the dark hole of Calcutta. We thought somebody was playing a trick on us. So everybody that wasn't in the investigative group, we ordered them upstairs. Turned off the lights again, waited for another 2 or 3 minutes. Another person was hit in the head with a brick.
I need a Kevlar.
Then when I started to say, okay, maybe I was going to say, okay, maybe we should go upstairs, but I didn't get to finish on maybe, I got hit in the side, my right side, with a brick.
Oh, my.
It's all red bricks, and they were like the very old brittle kind. They look like they were post-Civil War bricks. But having said that, I'm not a brick connoisseur.
Right. Oh.
And what's really weird is that after they hit us and they ricocheted off our bodies, they all almost identically fell into not the center, but into the circle of the pentagram.
Oh, damn.
That was enough. We all went upstairs. We didn't go back down into the basement for either two visits. We were there. I went in the Sally House as a skeptic. I came out as a hopeful believer, but I still believe people can be fooled.
Oh, yeah.
There is fraud. There is
too much of it anymore.
Yeah, there are charlatans, which I thought the psychic was a charlatan. But it scared the hell out of me. And I actually put that as one of my case files in the book, Stranger Than Fiction. I put in there, it's titled The Sally House. I was attacked by a ghost.
That's amazing. I've always wanted to go to the Sally House, and we have not been able to. It's creepy. I don't know if I'd even want to go right now because of all.
It's creepy. But at the same time, I've seen modern programs where I guess now it's a tourist place where you can go in and do stuff like that.
Yeah.
It looks like it's lost its charm to me because when we went there, it was just an empty house waiting for a tenant.
Yeah. And those are the best ones to me. It's like I tell my team because I have a paranormal crew. I'm founder of a paranormal team.
Cool.
And I founded it, 10 years ago this year. Holy shit. But we are planning on going to some places like Malvern Manor. Ooh. I know Malvern Manor has been, you know, publicized and everything, and the Velisca House. But
yeah,
if I can get the team ready and I can get a hold of Josh Hurd and Johnny Hauser and get everything going the way I'm hoping to get it going, we'll be up there at both of those places. Now, I've heard the Velisca House has kind of lost a lot of its oomph because of all the tours that's going in there and everything.
Yes.
But I've heard different of Malvern Manor. Now, I've heard Malvern Manor is continuously getting something going.
I had a concern like that I talked to a psychic who is legit, and she's into Wicca and stuff like that. And she said that if possible, and if the people will allow it, because of the fact that they have so much traffic going through there as a tourist house, before you even start your investigation day one, you should take sage and go through the house and cleanse it.
To get all the negative and all the other energy of the other people that have gone through out.
Yeah, definitely so. The other scary place I went to was the Missouri State Penitentiary in Jefferson City.
To go there for years. Oh my God.
It was absolutely creepy.
Oh.
The only thing that happened to me is that we went down into the lower part of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
We went to what was solitary confinement. Take it from me, sister, that is the darkest dark you will ever unsee. But while I was in there, I felt like three fingers push into my back, and I heard someone say, There was nobody in the room with me. Nobody was there, and they closed the door. They did that to all the people. And when the doors opened, I turned on my freaking flashlight and I looked behind. There was a brick stone wall there. There's no way. There was no secret door, nothing. No speakers. I looked for those in the corners and everything. Oh, someone did that and said, "Hey."
Oh my.
Maybe it was a prison ghost that wanted to make me his little puppy.
Probably.
but yeah, those are the paranormal experiences I've had. I've had some. I knew that my father died before we ever got the phone call.
Oh wow!
I was going into my room after I used to be a Catholic. As we came back from midnight mass, and I was going in my room, and all of a sudden it just occurred to me, my dad's dead. And then my mom got the phone call, and the scream she did afterwards, obviously, right, was the confirmation that it happened. That's the only time I've ever had any kind of precognitive adventure or misadventure.
Did it scare you to have that or?
Actually, to a surprising effect, no. It actually calmed me. Huh. I don't know if it was my father himself that was sending me the message, because he did die on Christmas Day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so am I.
Sucky. But,
yeah, it was. That's why we celebrate on Christmas Eve. But I never had it again. I didn't even have it when my mother passed away. But it made me aware, even though the skeptic was still, you know, trying to disbelieve
it. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that, you know, like Shakespeare said, there are things and philosophies in this life that are beyond our understanding. Paraphrase.
There are everywhere.
I do believe in ghosts, and I do believe in an afterlife. What that afterlife is, I think, is defined and clarified by our own personal beliefs and our own personality.
So you think if somebody's a skeptic and they never believe that they won't have an afterlife?
They'll probably end up in something like what the religious people call purgatory until they do or don't. But I do believe that the afterlife has just desserts. I've never believed that some like serial killer who killed like 97 people and accepts Jesus before he's No.
Sorry. I don't believe that he's gonna come back.
He might end up in purgatory for a long time, getting pineapples pushed up his butt.
Should. Lots of pineapples, extra spiny. Thank you.
Vitamin C, take it, bitch.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Shine, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
I don't know. That's okay.
One of the three things that we as Christians fundamentally worship is a Holy
Spirit. Ghost. Yep.
Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah. It's like, you can't have a spirit if you don't have ghosts.
Exactly.
Well, that used to get me in trouble in Catholic school all the time.
Did it?
Yeah. I used to, when we had theological debate, I decided to abstain because every time I did say something, I was called into the father's office to explain who I was, like thinking like one of the things that I came up with in Christians, I don't take this as an insult. I just did it as a thesis that what if the resurrection was just a practical joke done by Pontius Pilate to mind fuck the Jewish high priest, you know, and all that, like, oh, shit, maybe we did kill the Messiah, because it was Pontius Pilate's Roman soldiers that were guarding the tomb. Maybe he said, wait for these assholes to go home and throw the guy outside in the desert.
Probably.
I'm not saying it happened. I don't accept that. I'm just saying,
right. What
if? Oh, my God. That almost got me excommunicated. Burnt at the stake and thrown out on bad behavior. But it was supposed to be an open debate.
Right. Everything's supposed to be an open debate.
I actually believe what the old Hebrew proverb, I gave you, it's God saying this to Adam, I gave you a brain burning. Use it. Think.
Common sense. I gave you common sense.
Yes. But every time I tried to do that, probably one of the reasons, besides obvious reasons, why I'm no longer Catholic, I didn't, I abstained from talking during theological debate.
Well, this Catholic priest that I talked to, I think you would probably enjoy listening to some of the stuff he talks about, because, of course, he's an exorcist. He's a demonologist.
Oh, cool. I do believe in the Roman ritual.
Yes, it is. It is very interesting to, I told him, I said, I got to get you on my show again because I want to talk about the demonology that you studied. And the last time I had you on here, I wasn't able to get so much out of you on the exorcism stuff because he, of course, I can't really talk about the exorcisms, but he can talk about the process and everything. He was training during that time that I had him on. So now that he's a padre, I call him padre. Now that he's a padre, he can probably let me know a little bit more about all that stuff. But anyway, he is all about talking about demons and the exorcism and exorcisms. I want to ask you this question. Are you into like the movies and stuff about the exorcisms and research?
The way that I look at it, I accept The Exorcist, and Exorcist 3, Exorcist 2 never happened.
Have you seen The Exorcist of Emily Rose?
Yes, yes. Very finely crafted,
creepy,
very creepy film.
Now, have you ever researched exorcisms and actually listened to the recordings and stuff they did?
On some things, but I did it on a very basic level because I'm writing a book that has an exorcist in it.
Oh.
And basically, he believes that all religions come from a common core good and evil.
That's how I believe too. Yes.
And what he does is that when he's facing a demon, he's got what he calls a conjure kit. And inside the conjure kit is everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. If he needs a holy icon or a potion, it could be Native American, a Catholic symbol, Judaic symbol, Islamic symbol, or just a symbol, you know, that is definitely used to ward off bad vibes. Whatever he needs, he will use. And I just wanted to know from the Roman ritual point of view, what happens during this. And there are documented cases of people who have talked, like on The Exorcist, and it was all gibberish, but when you played it backwards, it made sense. So yeah. I do believe that, there's like that one scene in Exorcist where Father Marin and the younger priest were sitting up, reflecting on what they've gone through. And then the young one says, "Why this child?" And then Marin says, "Because she's innocent, because she's beautiful. God wants to, devil wants us to question God and stuff like that."
Always.
I firmly believe that. I believe that the devil, he's still as arrogant as he was when he tried to overthrow heaven.
Oh yeah, that's not changed at all. The one thing that I remember listening to, and I'm trying to remember the exact exorcism it was. I slept since then. It was, like you said, you play it back and you can hear a lot of different stuff. It's that one girl that was in Germany. I want to think of what her name is. I'm trying to find it right here as I talk to you about it.
I think I saw pictures of her. She had like really black circle eyes and her teeth looked gnarly. She looked like Gollum.
Yeah, she did. After all was said and done. Annalise Michael.
Yes.
That was her name. Annalise Michael, because she was this beautiful girl. And then by the time everything was said and done, she looked like this old haggard lady. Those recordings they gave me chills just listening to them. Because her voice.
Nothing you want to listen to alone.
No, I do, because nobody in my house would listen to him with me. But I gotta say, the only thing that I've really been scared of in this field is bringing something home to my kids. Otherwise, nothing has really scared me, because I guess in my mind and in my heart, I know he's around me no matter what. So if something does come for me, I do have backups. I have Padre if I need, you know, if I need him, or I have Dustin, which is my occult specialist, if I should need him, or I even have an Indian friend that knows a little bit of Native stuff if I should need them. But I think I'm running around like a 17-year-old that really has no fear of death, so to speak. I do have a fear of death. I just don't have a fear of the paranormal yet.
Well, 17-year-olds, they have the luxury of not fearing death.
Yes, they do.
I turn an age older tomorrow. Tomorrow's my birthday.
I know. I had actually had I had something. Let me see if I could pop it up here.
It's like you're like when I used to interview people, I always had this, and you can confess if it's like, God, I hope this person isn't an asshole.
Right. The minute I come all over, are they gonna let me cuss, or do I have to be serious the whole damn time? Or gonna just be myself.
You know, like the guys that used to do the farm report.
Oh God.
Today corn was going up 23 cents.
Or the oh God, who was the guy that just passed away not too long ago who did the and that is the rest of the story.
Paul Harvey.
Yes, Paul Harvey. I remember listening to him growing up, and it was
Buckley. William Buckley when he did the National Review.
Yes. Yes. Oh man. But I don't know if you'll be able to see it. Can you see it?
Yeah, I see it. It's cool. Right up my alley.
But I was going to come up with that. And I'd be like, oh, happy early birthday. Totally left my mind. But happy early birthday. But yes. Growing up, what really made you go into the horror genre of things? What made you... Because you didn't really experience the ghost thing until you were already an adult. So what?
Yeah. When I was a kid, through no fault of my own, we moved around a lot. My father was a gypsy. He had Roman feet. We were a family of tumbleweeds, and I was always the new kid on the block. And you know, when you go to cities, sometimes they got these cliques where you can't get into it because you're not them and stuff like that. So I would, instead of sulking and stewing in my own loneliness juices, I would go to the library and I would read books. I would disappear in worlds of fantasy. I started with the classics, you know, Jules Verne, H.G. Wells, and Mark Twain. And then I started reading, I think the first book I read was The Puppet Masters, which was one of the bases of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, wow.
And I read that, and then I got into Stephen King. At that time, he was an up-and-coming writer. He only had Carrie, Cujo, and Salem's Lot. And I read all three of them. I thought Salem's Lot was the best. It was, to me, it was, you know, better than sliced bread. I read it twice. That was the first book when I was in kiddom that I read twice.
Oh, wow.
Then, you know, going into school, the literature teacher or the English teacher would have a creative writing session where everybody could write a story and say it in front of the class. Man, I dived in that. I dived into that like gangbusters. I started out writing a little story, and the little story turned into a novella, and it was like, I mean, for 9 years old to create a story that's 55 pages long, that's almost practically a novel to a kid.
Yeah.
And I brought this big, thick bunch of papers up to the teacher, and she looked at him and said, "You're going to read this?" she looked up at the clock and said, "We might have to do this in parts." I said, "Great, I'm a miniseries." So I read my stories, and at the end of it, I always had my paper up like this where I couldn't see him, because if I saw him, I knew that I would go catatonic. Oh, yeah. So I'm reading all that, and I'm doing the voices, and I'm having fun with it. I'm inflecting, I'm being evil, I'm being nice, I'm being girl, I'm being boy, being monster. And I put the papers down, and they all look at me like they just had 200 cc's of note being put in their face. And I'm just standing there going, okay, that's it. And I go to my my seat and I sit down. I never did have the courage to look and see if anybody actually liked it. I didn't ask them, but every time I went up there, you could hear people go, ooh, because they knew it would be a scary story.
Like they did.
It was a great, it was a watershed moment for me because after that, I got hooked on writing. And now when I do writing, I can do anything. I can do, I do sci-fi, I do horror, I do history, I do fantasy, I do fantasy romance. We were talking about religion and it made me think about my fantasy romance. It's a book called Knowing God.
Oh, wow.
And it's a story about a gentleman who tries to commit suicide and has a near-death experience where this rendering of this perfect woman comes down and goes, go back. You know, like the old traditional near-death experience. And when he gets back and after he leaves the mental ward, because you can't do this without, you know, suffering the consequences. When he leaves the mental ward, he sees this, he's looking around this group of benches and he does this. Just as quick as he looks back, there's a lady that's sitting there and she's crying. Hunched over and crying. And he goes up and talks to her and he says, ma'am, can I help you? And she looks at him like she's never heard a word or a sound in her life. And she doesn't understand English. She doesn't know the simple things. When she sees a stick of butter, she looks at it the way the Neanderthals did with the obelisk in 2001 Space Odyssey. She did not know what it was. And after she learns very quickly how to articulate and speak English, she confesses to him that she's God.
Oh, wow.
She came down to her creation because she's curious as to why in a time when there's plenty on the earth and people should be living well, that they're knocking themselves off like life is cheap. And he doesn't believe her. It takes a couple miracles and the fact that the Archangel Gabriel and winged Pygor Glory, you know, comes up to her and starts calling her Lord and protecting her from the stupids of the world.
Right.
And he ends up believing her. And some people like this story. Some people don't. And the ones that don't, I can understand why they don't. Because I went under the creative license that everything about faith, dogma, religion, the Bible stories we tell, everything from Judaism to Islam, we all got wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one moment that I love. It's one of my favorite in the book where she's arguing about the Garden of Eden story.
Mm-hmm.
And as she's going into the kitchen to get her a glass of milk, she sticks her head out defiantly and goes, oh, by the way, smartass, it wasn't an apple. It was a peach. You know, just little things like that.
Oh, gosh, I really want to read this. I really want to read it. I love it. Like
the names in the stories, the two characters, the gentleman's name is Nathan, which is the name of one of the last Judaic great prophets.
Oh, wow.
And his last name is Andrews, which is the name of the first disciple to recognize Christ, who he was. Andrew, you know.
Yeah.
Saint Andrew. Her name, Amanda, is Hebrew for worthy of love. So what better name for God?
Right. Worthy of love. Wow.
I thought about that crap before I wrote it, you know, and all the dogmas. Dogma is important. It might not be true, but it sets a stable influence for, you know, clear thinking. You start with, you start with what you have.
Yeah.
And you can improve upon it, remodel it, flip it on its side. I look at it like this. Even if they didn't like the story, I want them to go away with questions.
Exactly.
And one of the most colorful characters in the book is Lucifer himself.
You have Lucifer in the book. That's going to be great.
Yes. there's two names he does not like to be called. If you want to get on his bad side, you call him these two names. The devil or Satan. Because in his reality, in the reality of the story, that was bullshit created by Jesus Crispies.
Jesus Crispies.
His name is Lucifer, or if you want to call him the Lightbringer, You can call him the Lightbringer, but don't you dare call him the devil or Satan.
Not today, Satan. I mean, Lucifer.
In my mind, when I'm writing the story, I picture a movie of what the story looks like to me in my mind's eye. And always, always when I came to Lucifer, I thought of a young Malcolm McDowell.
Oh. You know, he was spoiled, though. You gotta think, Lucifer was one of the spoiled angels.
Yeah, he had one flaw. He was arrogant. At least as far as the story goes.
I gotta read the story. Do you have any stories that are in Audible, or are they just all?
Now that you say it, The Dark Passenger and Knowing God both won the Best of Awards at the Audiobook Reviewer.
Yay!
Dark Passenger got Best Occult Horror because it deals with ancient Egyptian superstition. The Knowing God got Best in Fantasy Romance.
Nice. Congratulations. I bet that made your day.
Oh, and also the narrator of Drop Dead Gorgeous is an audiobook too. You can get them on Audible. She does a really good job playing, Eve. And Annabelle.
Really?
Yes. And I came up with the Annabelle thing way before the doll thing. And when the doll thing came out, I go, cool.
Interesting. Now, there's a lot of stuff that you've done as... Now, how do you spell Alan? Do you spell A-L-A-N or A-L-E-N?
Ian.
Ian. Okay.
Yeah. And when they want to look up my website, right now it's still under my dead name. So DonaldAlanKirch.com, one word, no spaces between the three names. I'm working with Postmonster right now to get them to change the name of my domain to AlanAllisonChurch.com. Would you like to know how I came up with my name?
I would, because it kind of sounds like the Kirch, but church.
Yes, it does. Church is the English translation of the German surname. Kirch is the German word for church. That was easy. But when I was young, I loved the movies of the late, great John Hughes. And one of my favorite of his was The Breakfast Club. I watched that religiously. Like, whenever I felt bad and they came out with VHS tape, I wore those fuckers to their...
Until they broke.
They had tracks in them. I had to always go out and replace it. Yeah. I love the character that Ally Sheedy played, the goth chick that sat in the back.
Yes.
Her name was Allison. I still believe in the elasticity of our Constitution.
Yes.
Now, when it comes to Congress and the Senate, I also remember what Albert Einstein said. He said there was a difference between genius and stupidity. Genius has a limit. Yes. People ask me, why do I write? And the only thing that I can tell them is that my writing, though it not be Shakespeare, defines who I am and where I stand in the world. That's important, because there are people that go their entire life and they don't have a cause.
Exactly.
As long as I write every day, and I do, I write every day with the exception of two. I don't write on Christmas and I don't write on my birthday. So I won't be doing no writing tomorrow, and I'll be having the details all day. But that, and Ernest Hemingway said it once. He said, if you write at least one sentence a day, you're doing your job. And my job, I look at it like this. My talent is a talent that, when compared with other people's in the world, it's not better than what they do. It stands with them. It's unique and it's fascinating. I can inspire the weak to become strong. I can inspire the strong to become more humane and accepting. I can inspire someone who has no power to become powerful. make a difference, change the course of a river.
Yes.
You know,
build the dams that need to be built.
Yes. The only thing that could handicap my talent is school not teaching children how to read.
Exactly.
And passing them, because if they don't, the snowflakes will attack.
That No Child Left Behind was the worst thing to happen to my son.
Well, when I was a kid, one of my favorite books that I've read was Gone with the Wind by Margaret Mitchell. It amazed me because in the book, Scarlett is a hell of a lot more of a slut than she is in the movie. And the movie was a masterpiece. It's one of my favorite movies. I actually wrote a book, a fictionalized book on the making of Gone with the Wind called Selznick's Folly.
Oh, cool.
The only reason I read that book is because when I was 9 years old, I saw this thing that said, banned books in public schools. And it blew my mind. I'm going, but we have freedom of the press. How can it be a banned book? And 95% of the banned books that I read are books that were the masterpieces. Gone with the Wind, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, Tarzan. Tarzan of the To Kill a Mockingbird. I mean, these are seminal works,
yes.
Especially To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
That masterpiece started as an act of charity by her friends, because she was crying one day on her porch and someone asked her, why are you so down? She said, because if I had a year where I didn't have to work, I could write something powerful. And all of her friends got together on Christmas Day and provided her with the money that matched her annual salary. So she took a whole year off. And at the end of that year, she had To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
You got to keep a sense of humor. Okay. No matter what change a person goes through, whether it's like me where you decide you want to walk to the other side of the street, or if you're alternative lifestyle, whatever. If you're a conservative who suddenly becomes a liberal or the other way around, whatever it is you do, you have to have conviction and look at it with both eyes open. Be real about it. You got to be real about it.
Definitely. Look at it from both sides, read both sides, research both sides. Don't just stick to one side because it fits your agenda.
Yes. Ever. And what I'm going through might not work for someone else who's probably in the same camp, deciding that they want to change their sex and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is a unique journey built and meant for only me. I can offer advice, but it's just advice.
Exactly.
It's not gospel.
A lot of people want to make it gospel anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's the curse of our times.
Yeah. Well, when you have free speech.
It does come with a price.
It does. It's like Speedy's Uncle Ben: with great power comes great responsibility.
Yes.
It definitely does. Now, when people want to buy your books, I already told them Amazon. We already told them your name. If they want to reach out to you, where can they find you?
You can contact me by email. My email is storywriter1967@yahoo.com.
Awesome.
And if you contact me, I will write you back. I promise. It might take time, but I will write and respond to you. I mean, to say that I don't want fortune and fame would make me a liar.
Oh, yeah, everybody does.
But all I want simply is to be remembered.
Awesome. Thank you so much for spending these 2.5 hours with me and having fun and just chit-chatting. It's always, always awesome.
Thank you for having me. We got to do this again.
Definitely. And next time we can have a little cocktail besides fucking coffee.
I'll bring the Tawaka.
Ah. Sounds fun. Well, honey, you take care of yourself and you keep going on with your dreams because you're doing something awesome.
God bless you.
Bless you too. Bye.
Bye.
And that's my interview with Allison Church. Such an awesome soul. If you want to ask her any questions, please reach out to her at her email that she gave. If you have a question for me, you're more than welcome to message me at Exploring the Paranormal Perspective on Facebook. Stay tuned next week for my geek search on haunted forests. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Dark you can't see. Here's a oak tree. 7, 8, 9. You're shivering from your spine. 10, I'm here. You're sweating from your fear. 12, one step.